Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 14, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 31 through 46, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you for the time of worship. Father, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Father, Take This Cup. Father, Take This Cup. Now, as we look into the Word of God this evening regarding this subject matter, we're going to see the only time in Scriptures, and it's mentioned in the other Gospels, where it seems like Jesus doesn't want to go through with this. Now, let me just say this. If God were to give you foreknowledge and a vision of what's going to take place in 2 days, and that you would be beaten and killed, and you saw it, would you cry out to God? Huh? Would you cry out to God? If God showed you in 2 days, you're going to be crucified on a wooden cross, you're going to be mocked, you're going to be beaten, and then killed through suffocation on a cross, I think I would cry out. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so, let's see how this story unfolds as we've been reading Mark chapter 14. Amen? So, let's read. Verse 32, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Okay, this lets us know Jesus is stressed out, isn't he?
Yes.
Or he wouldn't have said that. Verse 35, he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Look what he said here. It's in your word. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. Hallelujah. Verse 37. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is willing. And here's the key for all of us here. But the flesh is what? Weak. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. Verse 40. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. If you have insomnia and you can't go to bed at night, just open up the Word. And you're just like, Forget about the pills. Just read the Word. Look at this. For their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. They didn't even know why their eyes were heavy. Look at this. And he came the third time and said, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. For 3.5 years, he kept telling them, the hour will come, and the hour had come now. Look at this. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. What? My goodness. He said, rise up. Let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12 with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, "Psst, psst, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. That was the kiss of eternal torment. From that moment on, God took note, you just betrayed the Son of God. Wow, what a place to be. So let's look at this. Verse 32, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Just sit here. That's all he's at. Sit here while I go pray. He told them to pray, but Jesus really had to pray. Can I get an amen? So saints, after eating that supper we talked about last week, the disciples left Jerusalem and went out to Gethsemane with him. The garden was in the Kidron Valley. How many remember that place? Come on. The Kidron Valley, just outside the eastern wall of Jerusalem. And just below the Mount of Olives, Jesus told 8 of the disciples to sit down while he went farther to pray. See, it's mentioned here also in John. Look what it says here in John. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met with the disciples. I'm going to ask this question right now. Can you think of something quickly? Think of something right now that's still alive after 2,000 years. What is it? Oh, no, we know God is alive. I'm talking about something on this earth. I'm sorry. What's on this earth that's still alive after 2,000 years, have not died? Well, when you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, see that one big tree right there? See that tree right there? That olive tree right there? It's still alive since Jesus' day. And somewhere in this garden, Jesus laid out and prayed. And it was a stone's throw away where his disciples were. Here's another photo right there. Look how big these trunks are. They're still alive. They're still bearing fruit. 2,000 years later. What? My goodness. That lets us know geographically that this place is real. And until you go and see it for yourself, it's for some, it's just, oh, wow, wonderful story in the Gospels. No. It's a real place. So plenty of drama surrounds Mark's tense account. It's very tense. The elders of Jerusalem are plotting to kill Jesus and had already issued a warrant for his arrest. They plotted and schemed, and they did an illegal apprehension. They did it at night. Why didn't they arrest him in the day? Because the whole city probably would have came against the elders and the rulers. There might have been a real mob. A real mob would have rose up. The disciples must have also been physically and emotionally exhausted from trying to what? Comprehend what would transpire. Instead of watching, they gave in to their exhaustion and they just fell asleep. They fell asleep. So let's move on to verse 33. And he took Peter and James and John with him. Notice James, John, and Peter. Where did he take them last time? You guys forgot already? Yes, to the Mount of Transfiguration. They're the ones that saw the new body. So he took them. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Why was Jesus deeply distressed? Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. Just stay here and watch. Can you do that for me? Just stay here and watch. Saints, Jesus took those disciples, his inner circle, farther into the garden with him. To these closest friends, Jesus revealed his inner turmoil over the event he was about to face. The divine course was set, but Jesus in his human nature still struggled. Like I asked this question before we started the Bible study. If you knew in 2 days that you were going to be brutally murdered at no fault of yours, would you cry out to God? Would you ask God, God, is there another way? God, can you move that away from me? Can you stop that from happening to me after he just showed you this is what's going to take place with you in 2 days? I think some of us would probably OD. Let me hit the pills. Let me do something. Some of us would lose it. Huh? Some of us would just go, aah! But look what Hebrews brings out for us tonight. Look at this. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So Jesus came to a place, even though he was going to be crucified, he came to a place of obedience. He didn't want to go to that cross like you wouldn't want to. But one of the things that he saw, though, he saw the glory that was ahead of him. He saw the eternal glory. He saw you and I that would come 2,000 years later because of his obedience to his Father and to the death of the cross. Look at this. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, God is saying now, because he obeyed his Father, we are to obey him now. Can I get amen? It works both ways. I know it's tough to obey him. This body of flesh wants to have a Burger King life. It wants to have its own way, doesn't it? But having been perfected, Jesus, the perfected one, became the author. In other words, he's the one that wrote our names in the book of life. Can I get amen? Of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now, one of the things, it's not so much the do's and don'ts. Because we're gonna go through do's and don'ts until he comes back. You know what the obedience of us? To surrender, to cry out, to acknowledge the death, the burial, and the resurrection. To acknowledge that he is God in the flesh that came to die on the cross. You see, when God opens up your understanding and you adhere to it, now you're obeying the word of God. And so guess what? The great exchange. You give him your heart, he gives you eternal life. Because you obeyed. And what was the obedience? Repentance. We can't receive anything without repenting. Did you know that? So Jesus' coming death was no surprise. He warned them. He told them for 3.5 years that the hour would come. And it came. It was upon them now. And so he knew about it and had even told his disciples so that they would prepare their hearts. Because he was going to depart, and he was going to go away after he rose again on the third day. Jesus knew what his death would accomplish, saints. As the time of this event neared, but it became more horrifying to him. You would be horrified too if you were right there before the world, naked before the world. I'm talking not a terry cloth like we see in the movies. And Josephus, who was an eyewitness, he wrote that you could not even tell the gender of who Jesus was, because that's how mauled he was beaten. You couldn't even tell his sex no more. It was all hamburger meat. Wow. He did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. And so Jesus asked Peter and James to stay and watch with him. Just watch. Watch. Why I go pray to my Father. Jesus knew Judas would soon arrive. And Jesus wanted to devote himself to prayer before the betrayer would come. Wow. You know, Jesus could have just called heaven down. He could have called angels and just took out Judas. But then he wouldn't have fulfilled what his Father had sent him to do. So you got to remember, Jesus laid down his life. But in his humanity, he felt pain and suffering and loneliness. He felt anguish. He felt those things you and I. The only difference between him and us, he was sinless. He had no sin. He who became sin had no sin, that we, you and I, would have the righteousness of Christ by faith. Let's move on to verse 35. And he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. That must have been a long hour. That hour must have been very sorrowful. So he went further into the garden to be alone with his Father. His agony was such that he threw himself on the ground before God in deep spiritual anguish. The Bible says that his perspiration turned to blood. That's how he was travailing in prayer and how hurting he was feeling. He was so hurt. Just imagine what he saw. He just did not see himself on the cross naked. But guess what else he saw? He saw all of our sins that was going to be laid on him. Just think how wicked sometimes we can even come up with stuff in our own heart. How we can act with one another and lie and cheat and steal. Every sin from birth till we die in this flesh was nailed on him. I would have anguish too. Why am I going to carry your sin? And why am I going to carry your sin? And why am I going to carry your sin? But that's what he had to do. You need to get a hold of what he did for us. Yeah, you know, we praise him. But just think for a moment what he did for us. It's deeper than just, hallelujah, we love you, God, we praise you. It's reflecting that moment. In this moment that we are hearing right now for our understanding and reminding us the depths of his love that he had for you and I, that he would go to this atrocious cross for you and I. And so he went away with deep spiritual anguish, praying that if it was possible, that awful hour awaiting him might pass him by, that his mission might be accomplished some other way. But look what Isaiah the prophet said. It was prophesied before Jesus was even born in Bethlehem. Look what it says up here in Isaiah. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him, stricken him, smitten by God and afflicted. Meaning, every one of us, past, present, and future, the sins were laid on him, and his father even turned his face from him. Wow. Wow, that's... Some of you have beautiful children. Just imagine if you turned your back on them when they needed you. And you just kept your back away from them. And they needed you that moment. His father had to do that. But he did it because they had us in mind. It had to be. It had to be. Look at this. It says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. Just so every ungodly thing that we've ever experienced in our life up to now was nailed to that cross. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So his beatings that he took, the cat nine claws that ripped out his flesh, was for us, for our healing. It was for us. So the hour figuratively refers to the entire event Jesus was facing. The hour and the cup were used synonymously. Yet Jesus humbly submitted to his Father's will. Praise God. Luke tells us that Jesus' sweat resembled drops of blood, as I mentioned. Jesus was in terrible agony, but he did not give up or give in. Praise God. How many so blessed? He's a real man's man. He's a real man. He went ahead with the mission for which he had to overcome for you and I. Isaiah further said this, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What? In other words, his father says, it pleases me that he had to be crushed. If you take the word bruise in the King James and other translations, it's crushed. Like a wine press. You ever seen a wine press in Israel? Is they put a whole bunch of olives in this press, and there's this big, huge, giant stone, and they roll the stone, and it squeezes and crushes each olive so that oil would come forth. He was in that olive press for you and I. My, my, my. He has put him to grief. Look what it says here. And when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What does it mean by that? He shall prolong his days, but further, he shall see his seed. That's us. God saw us thousands of years later of the crushing of his son. We're part of that seed now by faith. Can I get an amen? And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Okay, I need you to catch that. Did it say all? It just says many, huh? You know why it says many, but it doesn't say all? Because not everyone is going to get saved. We've been the chosen ones, praise God, and many other good saints of God around the world that are truly washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit, and living for him. Those are the ones he died for. Those are the ones his blood was shed for. Aren't you so blessed to know that? That we've been included in that group by faith. My goodness, we're not here religiously. You and I, we have a relationship with him. We've been born again. That's what being born again means. That means we have died once and for all to sin, and the Holy Ghost now lives in us. And we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he has taken everything, past, present, and future, and nailed it on the cross. It doesn't give us a license to sin. I'm not saying that. But we have now entrance to eternal glory by faith. Wow. Jesus did it for us. Look at this. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Not all. Not all. Let's move on. Verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Saints of God, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to say it in love. Every one of us is uniquely different from one another. Yet, the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. But there are things in your life, in my life, that wouldn't cause me to sin or cause you to sin, but it causes each individual something in your life that God said, give this to me because it's going to cause you grief. Give it to me, or you're going to walk around defeated. He said right here, nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. If God is speaking to you and there's things in your life you need to give to him, guess what? It's not your will no more. It's his will. Can I get amen? Amen. So give him everything. He'll speak to you. You'll know it loud and clear. Hey, you know what? Don't hear this. Don't watch this. Don't do this. Don't hang out with those who chew and do. Last Sunday, Jonah, the unbelievers around him, threw him off the boat. I shared it last Sunday. You backslide and go out with the world, things will happen in their life bitterly too, and they'll throw you back in church themselves. You're cursing us. Get out of here. You don't belong with us no more. Go back to your God. Can I get an amen? So Abba was Aramaic for father and implied familiarity and closeness. Only Jesus could have used the word Abba in a prayer to God. Because Jesus had a special father-son relationship with him. They didn't listen, he had to teach them to pray. Can I get an amen? And the Holy Ghost had not yet been poured out. They only knew Jesus in the flesh. My goodness, they weren't born again yet. Jesus using it showed his surrender to and faith in the Father's will. Children address their fathers as Abba in the Israeli nation in Hebrew. Abba, Abba. How many of you that were in Israel would hear the little kids say, Abba, Abba, Abba? That's how they say father in Hebrew, Abba. But the term was too familiar for adult Jews to use in speaking to God. Paul used the terms in Romans and Galatians. Look at this. Look how it says here in Romans. Look at this. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Holy Spirit, what? Of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So when you become born again, now you can truly cry out, Abba. Some of you grew up with no fathers. I get that. You know, we had a, I praise God for my dad, who really did his best to earn a living and to supply the needs of our family. I have 11 brothers and sisters. But guess what? For at least 12 years of being a child, he was hardly ever home. He did 9 months in Westpac. It was my mom and grandmother that had to raise us. My dad was away, yet he was a good man. But that was the type of living that they chose to do at the time. We had no say in it. We were kids. But he loved us, and he still cared for us. But those of you who never had a father in the home, now as a child of God, you can cry out, Abba, Father, and he will show you how good he is to you. He will love you even more than your earthly father. And some of us had really wonderful earthly fathers. And some of, like I said, some of them were never home. And maybe you felt abandoned and you never had a father figure around. Well, guess what? Now we do. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Come on, give him praise for that. Hallelujah. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Notice the Holy Spirit is capital, and the little spirit is our spirit, our human spirit. That we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him. Oh, I don't want to hear that word. I have to suffer? Yeah, hey, there's some things God's going to have you go through. But can you still say, Abba, Father? Huh? Yesterday, I could barely walk. There was so much pain in my right knee. Sister Yolanda prayed for me. Today, man, praise God. You know what she told me? She goes, you got spiritually attacked. You know why? Because after she prayed for me, they did an ultrasound and x-rays and found nothing. But I remember I was in the kitchen and I lifted up. I could barely lift up my knee. And she lifted it up and she was praying. She was praying in the Holy Ghost, man, while I was washing dishes. I was doing something in the kitchen. And man, the next day, which is today, praise God, I'm here. I even told her, I go, man, where did that pain go? I'm glad it's gone. Sometimes the enemy will afflict you. Oh, yeah. But there are times when, you know what? Yeah, it hurts, but I'm going to still praise you. That we may be also glorified together. Can I get amen? Amen? Look at Galatians here. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, what? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You need to know when you leave this place tonight, hallelujah, that you are an heir of the Most High God. Everything that God has in heaven is yours too. Can I get amen? Amen. And God is right there when you call upon him. God has not abandoned us. He surrounds us 24/7. Even when we're out like this, he's right there with us. Can I get an amen? I'm just keeping it real. He's right there. Thank you, Jesus. The words, everything is possible for you, indicates God's omnipotence. He's all powerful. He could accomplish anything. Jesus was affirming God's sovereign control over the coming suffering. Wow, the suffering was coming. Let's move on to verse 7 for time's sake. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to them, Simon Peter, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is truly willing, but the flesh is weak. Listen, God spoke to me real clear when this scripture came up. When we're not praying and watching, this flesh will want to have its way. When we come to Bible class like this, is we're watching, we're reading, we're praying, we're filling our mind with the things of God that will edify us, that will build us up. But these guys, they couldn't understand what was taking place with them. So Jesus got up from his prayer to return to the three disciples. He had told them to stay and keep watch, but instead of showing support for Jesus by remaining awake with him and praying themselves for strength for the coming hours, they were out. Look what John says here. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he says, you are Simon, the son of Jonah, because the betrayer was just around the corner. This is why Jesus, just stay up, because the betrayer's coming. They didn't even know it was Judas. Even though Judas left, we know where in Scripture he said it was Judas. That's what I love about God. He's not a squealer. how did we say it back in the day? Man, I'm going to narc on you. He didn't do that, did he? He told Judas, go do it quickly. Remember last week? Just go do it quickly. And he did. He got up and left. And nowhere do we see that Jesus says, that's him. You know why? Peter would have ran after him and beat him to a pulp. See, Jesus knows the heart of men. Peter had said that he would never leave Jesus. And yet we know he denied him how many times? See, Jesus wanted his disciples to pray for strength to go through the coming ordeal. Jesus was trying to teach them, saints of God, I want you to hear this clearly. When you need supernatural strength, you need to pray. It's only going to come through prayer. It's not going to come through, this is what I need. No, it comes through prayer, to seeking his face, to crying out to him. You know why prayer touches the heart of God? Because you're utilizing your faith. You're believing him. And this is what honors the king, is faith. Faith in the king. Can I get an amen? So their spirit might be willing, but their body was just weak. So once again, I shared it earlier. If you have a problem going to sleep at night, open up your word. Just start reading a chapter. All of a sudden, you'll probably just fall asleep right there. Let's go to verse 39. We've got a couple of minutes. And again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Listen, if I had to tell someone 3-4 times on something that was bothersome, and they didn't know what it was, they're not going to know what to say. And that's how they were. That's why the word of God said they did not know how to answer him. Jesus left the disciples and went back to his previous pleadings with the Father. Father, if it be thy will, take this cup. But when he returned to them, they were asleep again. Despite his warning that they just couldn't keep their eyes open, apparently, saints, Jesus again awakened. He woke them up. Listen, how many of you have been woken up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning? That's him waking you up. That's not you, I'm up all of a sudden. No, he's waking you up. He says, I need to spend time with you right now. So if you wake up out of nowhere, 3:34 in the morning, that usually is a time where you can have true intimacy around that time. Everything is dead asleep. But when you're with him at that moment, he will speak mighty things to you. He'll show you visions. He'll tell you things to come. That's right. You'll be like a, just picture this. Picture a child or your grandchild who you truly love, and they're sitting on your lap and you're telling them stories. You're just loving on them, and they have your full attention. Their eyes are looking right at you. That's what God wants from us. That kind of relationship. That we would just glean off him and know who he is in our life. How many believe he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How many believe he's the Alpha, the Omega? How many believe, hallelujah, that he is our all in all? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's move on to verse 41. We got a few verses and we close. Then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping? Three times now. It is enough. I could imagine Jesus didn't say, hey, come on, man. Notice how with apostrophe, does your Bible have apostrophe on it? Just imagine how he probably told them, it's enough, come on, man. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners, and you're asleep. Rise up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand. Wow, that day finally came. And they thought it was just another day that they were with him. Remember, 3.5 years. And so you got to ask yourself, do they truly were sold out for him? Were they really sold out for him? You got to ask yourself that, because he had to yell at them. He took them out there and he says, listen, this is about to happen to me. I wondered that. Where were they? Where were their hearts? Where were their minds at? Wow. Peter did not think it was possible for him to actually deny any relationship with Jesus. Perhaps, saints, he was worried that he was the betrayer Jesus had mentioned during their meal. Remember, they were all saying, is it me? Is it me, Lord? And notice Jesus didn't answer them. He didn't say, no, it's the one that left. No, he didn't say that. So look at this. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, he was with them. Wow. I'm going to say this in love. Don't ever look to man, but look to God. Because guess what? Man will fail you. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Come on, man. We're Amazing Grace, or we're the Rock, or we're Course, or we're all this. And then something goes funny, they're gone. And they'll even leave your life. For this guy who was with them for 3.5 years, he betrayed the Lord. And with a great multitude, with swords. This guy came with a mob. They had swords. He knew well that none of them were armed. Peter's the one that took the sword from one of the soldiers to whack off the ear. But they came with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. That day had come. Saints, Jesus took those three disciples, his inner circle, farther into the garden with him. To these closest friends, Jesus revealed his inner turmoil. And yet, they didn't pass the test. Wow. But I want us to now look in a prophetic sense as we come in for a close. We see this story, how it's mounting. We see the atrocity he's about to endure for us. But let's take comfort, because this was not something that happened during that time. It was something that God had already prophesied that would happen. It had to be right up here in Revelation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Meaning, before the whole world was spoken into existence, God already slew his son for us. Before we were ever written in the book of life, God already slew his son. In other words, he knew man was going to fail. He knew man was going to sin in the garden. He already made provision for mankind. This is how much he loves us. Do you get that? Before the foundation of the world, it had to be. Look at how the book of Acts, how Luke wrote this in Acts. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and the foreknowledge of God. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. But it was God's foreknowledge. He already knew. God already knew. So we can look back to look now and see that, yeah, this hideous thing happened, but God preordained it. Because guess who he had in mind? Us. You. And billions more around the world who are truly his. So, as we close, now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away. Wow. And he says in verse 45, and as soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi. And as soon as he kissed him, they all knew, that's him. Let's sick him. Let's get him. That's our boy. Judas had expected to find Jesus and the disciples in Gethsemane because he knew their M.O. He knew Jesus was a man of prayer. So he entered the garden, followed by the armed band, and walked up to Jesus. In a friendly gesture of greeting and affection, Judas called Jesus, teacher, rabbi. That's what rabbi means, teacher. And gave him a kiss on the cheek. And that was Judas's demise. Wow. Listen. This was a full-on betrayal. Let me ask you this question as we close. How many of you can honestly say someone has betrayed you in your life? I want to comfort you that God said these things would happen somewhere down in our life. And he prophesied this thousands of years ago in God's word. Look at this. Even my own family, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. My. Look what it says here. King David wrote this because he saw God gave him foreknowledge and insight. Look at this right here. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God together. In other words, God is saying, a lot of times, it's not someone that's far away from you. It's someone that's real close to you, and then they betray you. Wow. The disciples didn't see that. Because they loved Jesus. And Jesus loved them. But God prophesied, even the ones that are closest to you, watch out. Well, I'll never leave you. I'm always with you. And bam, they're gone. And they'll say ugly things about you. They'll mock you. They'll tell grievous lies about you. And they were the closest to you. That's a serious matter, huh? It's a serious matter. But here's God's ammunition for us, and then we'll pray. I'm on time. We didn't start till 8:45 or 7. I think it was 7:45 we started. So I usually get my good hour in. So we're not an hour yet. So here, take comfort. Because those things will happen to us. For some of us, they just recently happened. Huh? So take comfort in God's word. This is how God says you have, this is how you handle this. You don't take it into your own hands. Can I get amen? Amen. You follow God's instruction and he will bless you through it. It's right here. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Watch how you say things to one another. We're not better than anyone. Can I get amen? We're all equal, the Bible says. Look at this. Repay no one for evil. Evil for evil. So what if they said something? So what if they blaspheme you? So what if they said something that's not true? Can I get amen? Because Jesus, he had to still go to the cross, knowing that none of these things were true. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live what? Angrily. What up? Blah, 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 blah. No, that's quite opposite. You live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give. Why? Because it will give place for wrath. For it is written. I want you guys to repeat this with me, and then we pray. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Can I get an amen? Come on, give them a shout of praise and glory in the house. That's how you handle it. Jesus had to endure it, so can we. Can I get amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness, oh God. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, for someone that's struggling right now with anger and hostility and vengefulness and how dare you? Oh God, bring peace where there's turmoil right now, God. Calm their heart, oh God. Help them, oh God. Help them learn to just worship you and to praise you. Because we cannot change the hearts of men and women. That's not our job to do. We have no power over that. But we have power over our own tongue. And we have power over our own heart. And God, we need you to keep our heart at perfect peace. And so if you're listening to this message, God is saying to you right now, give me everything that's not like me and lay it at my feet. And when you walk away, don't come back and pick it up again. Just leave it there with me. If you're listening and you're struggling in that area, cry out to God. But I'm praying right now for those who do not even know who you are. And you want a relationship with Jesus. We'll pray with you right now. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life, Lord. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Oh, come on. Jesus is worthy. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.